Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our series of Holocaust responsa from the Sefer Shalat Tshuvas Mima'amokim from Rav Ephraim Ashri. And we are going to be learning today She'ela Yud Zayin in Chelek Dalid. Says Rav Ashri, Ba'osam yamim afeilim v'chashuchim eis kihilos Yisrael b'merchabei Europa hayu nesunos l'mirmas tachas ragle hametzik ha-germanim yimach shaman. Those dark days, at a time when the Jewish communities throughout the entire breadth of Europe were being trampled upon by their torturers, the Germans, may their names be blotted out. V'chol ha'arotzos shehetzik behem es kafraglo ha'tmeya hafchu listos ketel v'hereg behem nergu v'hushmedu kedoshim v'tahirim, in all the lands on which the feet of the Germans stepped, their impure feet, it turned into fields of murder and destruction. And many pure and holy people, tens and hundreds of thousands, were killed, and they had no way of escaping from this cruel enemy. Rishay Hagoyim Barotzos Elu, Sh'am B'nei Yisrael, Shachan B'Socham, the evil Gentiles in these lands that the Jewish people dwell, in which the Jewish people dwelt, Gam Heim Nasnu Yad L'Poshea HaGermani, they also helped the German murderers, the Azru Al Yado L'Maleas Mizimaso, and they aided and abetted them in carrying out their wicked plan, the Hakchadas Yisrael V'Hashmadaso, to completely destroy, decimate and wipe out the Jewish people. Hemazrulo b'masa hashod v'haretzach, they helped them with acts of thievery and murder. Umalues bateim v'kleim chamas v'gezel mimasha chamsu v'gazlu meis ha'yehudim, and they filled their homes with many utensils that were stolen from the Jews. Aval b'yichud gedoli hashmasim b'zeh shehafchu l'shlichei hamashchis ha'germani, however their greatest guilt is that they turned into agents of the German destroyer, l'chapeis acharei sridei hacheref, to search for those who were able to escape from the sword, she'etzlichu l'schavei b'ya'aros u'v'mechilots, that were successful in hiding in the forests and in the tunnels, adama, underground, ulemosram lidei plugos ha'ashmada, and to give them to the team of murderers, the Germans, yimach shemam, shemiru lishboch hasdam ha'umlalim kemayim, and they quickly made quick work, rachmana litzlan, of these Jews, and they spilled their unfortunate blood like water, mitochamatz retzach shebara bikirban, with this murderous anger that burned within them. So we have here a description of not only what the Germans had done, but also those who aided the Germans in finding Jews who escaped from their hands, handing them over to the Germans, who then murdered them. B'davar hazeh heru v'yishchisu harbe rishi hagoyim halalu. In this matter, these Gentiles did a lot of evil. Ve'al cheshbonam yesh lizkof es hashmadasim shel alfei acheinu v'achyosenu. And we can accuse them, and it is their fault, that many, many thousands of our brothers and sisters were killed, shenimsur al yadam legermanim, because they were handed over to the Germans. Achein, however, hayu yechidim sheheskimu biglal betza kesef lahachbi etzleim yehudim sheheschapsu lenachrim. There were individuals who, for monetary gain, were willing to hide Jews who were dressed up as Gentiles. And there were also those who hid Jewish children who were given into their hands. Heim asuzos al pirov. Usually they did this. Mitoch ratzon lizrok alem es meitum asam. They wanted to pour upon them their impure waters, meaning they wanted them to be baptized and converted to Christianity, chas v'shalom, kidei sheyazu es makor machzavtam, in order that they should leave the source of their being, v'yistapchu, and they should annex themselves, el chovke das nimuseim, and they should embrace a foreign religion. However, after the land was purified from chelas hamin ha'enoshi, this illness of the human race, Hagermanim yimach shemam, those evil Nazis. V'layehudim haisa ora v'simcha, and the Jews had light and they had joy. B'tseisam me'afelas hagito bohayu kluim, when they were able to exit the darkness of the ghetto in which they were held captive. Hitzlichu sride hatofes v'hashmad, those who were able to escape from this destruction were successful. Lahatzil kama v'kama me'ayeladim halalu mide hagoyim, to save a number of these children from the hands of the Gentiles. Ulahashivam eldas avosehem, and to return them to the hand, to the religion of their forefathers. Lechancham beruach Yisrael Saba, to educate them in the spirit of our Jewish tradition. Ulintoa belibam abis Torah v'yiras shemayim, and to plant in their hearts a love of Torah and a fear of heaven. V'hinei, b'nogea l'echad me'yiladim halalu shenishar b'chayim, with respect to one of these children who is kept alive. Hodos lazeh shahaya b'meshek yimei hazam bein hagoyim, thanks to the fact that throughout this period of murder and mass destruction, this child was held by a Gentile family. Nish'alti lahashiv ala shela de lahalan, I was asked to reply to the following question. And here Rav Ashri gets to the question, the halacha query that was posed to him. Hayelad hazeh shehutzal mide hagoyim, this child who was saved from the hands of the goyim, lo yoda bidiyuk es gilo hanachon, he didn't know his exact age. V'gam ha-goyim she'etzlam haya lo yadu lahagid es yom huladeto, and the goyim with whom he stayed didn't know his exact birthday, and they couldn't tell if he was 12 or if he was 13. They just knew one thing, that his name was Yisrael Baruch, and all of his family was killed b'mei hara, in these evil days, by the Germanim yimach shemam. All he had was one uncle who lived in South Africa, but unfortunately this uncle didn't know his nephew's exact age either. So I was asked by those who were educating this child, how should we relate to this child with respect to the mitzvah of putting on tefillin? We don't know if he's 13 or not. Should we already accustom him to putting on tefillin because maybe he's 13? Or maybe he's not 13 yet and he's not chayv in tefillin? That was the question that was posed to Rav Ashri. So his answer is as follows. B'Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim Simen Lamed Zayin Seif Gimel Isa, says the Shulchan Aruch, Katan Hayodea Lishmor Tfilav B'Tara Shelo Yishan Behem Velo Yafiach Behem, a child who knows how to guard his tefillin with purity, that he won't sleep in them, and that he won't pass gas, and also that he won't enter into the bathroom with them. Such a child's father has to buy him tefillin in order to educate him. That is the shita of the Mechaber. That is, if you're a katan and you know how to guard your tefillin, b'taro, the father is chayav to buy his child tefillin to be mechanichim in the mitzvah of tefillin. However, the Ramah adds, what is a katan? A katan is a 13-year-old child. That is the famous shita of the Baal Ha'itar, that tefillin is only allowed to be laid to lay tefillin, I guess they say. One is only allowed to put on tefillin from the age of 13 years in one day and not before. V'chein nohagu v'ein l'shanos. So is the minhag, and we should not change this minhag, shitas haramah, that a child is not to put on tefillin until his bar mitzvah. And when it says in the Gemara to educate a child in the putting on tefillin, what is a child? A child's a 13-year-old child. I know some 13-year-olds, and at the end of the day, they're still pretty young, let's just say. And so it seemed from the Ramah that you shouldn't change the minhag, that a katan shouldn't put on tefillin before his bar mitzvah, before 13 years old. However, there are many who argue with the Ramah, such as the Magen Avraham and others, and they say that tefillin should already be put on a child a month or 2 months or 3 months before his bar mitzvah. And if you would like to do further research on the topic, I direct you to a tshuva from Moifes Hador, the true wonder of our generation, Ashrei Hador Shezacha Liros, as Hagon HaGadol Rav Ovadia Yosef in his Yabia Omer in Chelek Vov, if I'm not mistaken, Simon Gimel, there he has an Arichus about being Mechanech, a child in Tefillin, before the age of 13, and quotes many sources who argue with the Ramah and the Baal HaItur that a child can in fact be educated before. Some people even hold a few years before, because in Pashtus, why should Tefillin be different than any other mitzvah? All mitzvahs were Mechanech children, so why should Tefillin be different that we're not Mechanech children? So what mitzvah do we start a month before, 2 months before, 3 months before? So the only thing is maybe tefillin is different because tefillin you need a guf naki. And that's why we're makbid to only do it a month or two or three before. However, there is certainly room to put the tefillin on a katan when he is good and ready, not like the Ramah, although there are those who agree with the Ramah, such as the Aruch HaShulchan. And he says, halavai, that when he's 13, he should be zari in Kedushas Tefillin. You already want to put on Tefillin before. So those are the various opinions with respect to putting Tefillin on a child who is not yet 13 years old. In Shilas and Shuvas Stam, from Shlomo Kluger, he's asked about a child who is an orphan from both his mother, from his father, and his mother doesn't remember if he is 12 or 13, and the neighbor says that in her opinion, he's already 13. So Reb Shlomo Kluger says that we should not be mechayev him misafik in tefillin against his cheskes katnas, because he has a chazaka beforehand, an assumption of being a katan, and that hasn't changed. We don't know that it changed yet. His mother isn't sure if he's 13 yet, and his father is unfortunately no longer with us to tell us. So I don't know what he did every year on his birthday. I guess he didn't have a birthday party. In any event, the Shlomo Kluger says that we should not be mechayiv him misafik in tefillin against his cheskas katnas, which is a cheskas ptur. He has a chazak of being a katan and putter from tefillin. And an aid echad is not neman to make this child a bar mitzvah, this neighbor. The only thing is, if he wants to, he can be meniach tefillin based on the edus of one aid and also based on the edus of an isha. Because of his fake sveika, safek, the halacha is like the Mechaber writes in the Shulchan Aruch, that even if you're under 13, you could put on tefillin. And even if you say the halacha is not like him, and that the halacha is like the Ramah, that you have to be 13, maybe the emes this child is bar mitzvah. And therefore, if he wants to, he can put on tefillin, but we can't be mechayev him, because the aid is not neman to be mechayev him in tefillin. And in the Sefer Yakult HaGershuni in Simen Lamed Vav, he brings a minhag that an orphan should start putting on tefillin before he's 13 years old, in order that it should be a schus for his father and his mother who are no longer with us. In our case, it would be the father. In the case of Reb Shlomo Kluger. But the Aruch HaShulchan differs, and he says that there's a myth in the mouths of the many, that an orphan should put on tefillin even a year before he's 13 years old, says the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't know any reason for this, and it's not correct to do it this way. In fact, one should wait until he's 13. However, in the Shalos and Shuvas Beis David, in Simen Mem Aleph, he gives a reason for this, that since there is nobody to be mechanechem in mitzvahs, and in Hanachas Tefillin, in order that he be sure that by the time he gets to Bar Mitzvah, he's a Baki in the Kedusha of Tefillin and a Hanach of Tefillin, we have to be Makdim and be Magil him, accustom him to wearing Tefillin. And in Nefesh Chaya, he writes a reason that we're Choshesh, that we don't know his exact birth date, because since he's a Yasam, maybe we don't know his birth date, so we have to put on Tefillin earlier, because maybe he's already bar mitzvah and we don't even know it. So therefore, we make sure to do it earlier so that we're sure that when he's actually 13 in reality, he's putting on his tefillin. And even though there are deyas, says the Nefesh Chaya, that you're not allowed to put on tefillin until you're 13, like we saw the Ramah in the name of the Baal HaItur, nevertheless, in order to be mechanechem in mitzvahs, we should be machmir, even in a suffix derabanan and a suffix chisaron yedia. So the worst, it's a derabanan that the rabbis told him not to wear tefillin earlier, and here we don't know. So therefore, since we're in the realm of the Rabbanan, and we're in the realm where we don't know, we should start putting on tefillin, so that he should be vadai mekayim, a mitzvah d'oraisa, at the right time. And it concludes Rav Oshri, v'chein amarti la'sho'alim, shemikol hanal nirali, shahakotan hanidon tzarech lahaslil aniach tefillin, says Rav Oshri, that because of the reasons enumerated here, this young man should start putting on tefillin, even though we're not sure whether or not he's 13. However, because of the reasons that we gave, he should start putting tefillin earlier. We had a sveika, that suffix, maybe you can even start putting on tefillin earlier, like the Mechaber says, and even if you can't start putting on tefillin before 13, maybe he's already 13. And he concludes, I said that don't be mitzarif him to a minyan of 10 until we know absolutely that he has reached the age of bar mitzvah. And he concludes, V'Hashem HaTov Yatzilenu Mishkiyos, God should save us from error, V'Nizkeh Lishmor L'Kayim Es Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazos Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. And we should be Zocher to be Mekayim, the whole Torah, which is a tradition of the Jewish people. It is an inheritance debtor of the Jewish people. So that is the shaila about the young man who didn't know his age. Rav Oshri says, if you don't know if you're 13 yet, put on tefillin, misafik. And if worse comes to worse comes to worse comes to worse, and he's not yet 13, so he's only being over, and the Rama says in the name of the Baal HaItter, that a 13-year-old, that a 12-year-old is not allowed to put on tefillin. But we have opinions that argue with that, say a 12-year-old is allowed to put on tefillin. And in addition, we, even if that opinion is wrong and he's not allowed to, but okay, it's only a derabbanan. However, mitzad the doraisa, we want to be sure that he is putting tefillin on in the proper time. So now we move on to she'ila yutes. Says Rav Oshri, la'achar she'omar Hashem l'mashchis ha'achzori dai v'zroa resha mugre. So after God said to the destroying cruel people, enough, and the arm of the wickedness was destroyed, hechelu hachaim shel anitzolim lizrom b'maslulam, the life of those saved from the tofet, from this inferno, went back to its normal course. Ve'ele sheyorad al rosham la'at acherev hamisapeches, and those upon whose head didn't fall the sword, the turning sword, an allusion to the biblical metaphor of cherev hamisapeches, la'at acherev hamisapeches, lishmor zderech etachayim, like it says in Sefer Bereishis, Parashas Bereishis. Hechelu lechapes ulechakos al ikvos b'nei mishpachtam, obviously after the war, people began to search for their family members. Maybe a family member remained alive. So, sweetest friends, before we continue, I must tell you a story that I heard from Rav Chazan, who is a very chashuv Rav in England. I heard this on a tape, that he says that he knows the person to whom this story happened. The story goes as follows. There was a man sitting on an airplane, a very, very frum man, frummer than frummer than frum. And this airplane was going from Heathrow to JFK. And this very religious man obviously ordered the frummest food, the most kosher food, more kosher than kosher than kosher. And he sat next to a man who ordered a different type of meal, Schrafer than Schrafer than Schrafer. As kosher as the kosher guy's food was, the man sitting next to him's food was that Schrafer. Very, very, Schrafer than Schrafer. So, the religious man sees this other man and they begin to talk, and he sees that he's Jewish. Either he noticed that he was Jewish by the way he looked, by the way he spoke, but it certainly came out that this person was Jewish. And he tried to convince him not to eat the unkosher food. And they're going back and forth, forth and back, back and forth, back, forth and back. And the non-religious man would not be convinced. He was going to eat his pork, ham, bacon, rye. That's it. There's nothing to talk about. So a religious man said to him, they started to philosophize. He said to him, why won't you eat the kosher food? Why do you insist on eating treif? And the non-religious man said to him, I'll tell you why. Because I had a son, one son, an only son. And he was taken away by the Nazis. And he was murdered. And if that's what God does to me, if God's going to take away my only son, my Chaim Yecheskel, well, then I'm not going to eat God's kosher. I'm sorry. And then, of course, the religious man said, oh, he began to philosophize. Not of course necessarily, but he began to philosophize. Some people would just hear that and be quiet. You can't argue with such an argument, you can't argue with rationally. It's a matter of feeling. But he didn't let up. He started to talk to him and try to convince him to philosophize with him that that was an act of God and we don't understand and we know it's painful and it's hard. But v'chule, v'chule, and the man wouldn't hear of it and he insisted on eating his treif meal. So, that was it. The plane lands safely, Baruch Hashem, in JFK. We thank John F. Kennedy for the airport that we've landed in so many times that has allowed us to enter New York and do mitzvahs until we could come back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so a few months pass, and this man, this English man, is in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, visiting his daughter. And he's in Me'er Sha'arim on Shabbos in his shul. And it's very stuffy in the shul. So what does he do? He goes outside and he says, I'll take a walk around the block. So he starts to walk. And all of a sudden, he sees a man smoking. On Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, on Yom Kippur, this man is smoking. So, as we already learned from the earlier part of the story, we're dealing here with a little bit of a kanoi, a zealous Jew. He sees another Jew sitting, he has to stop him. He has to say something. So he's about to go up to the guy and give it to him, for smoking on Yom Kippur. Throw away your cigarette, you're doing two averus. One is that you're smoking. Smoking is an averu. And number two, that you're doing it on Yom Kippur, an even bigger aver. But then when he got closer, he saw that it was the man sitting next to him on the airplane from Heathrow to JFK. So, oh, how are you doing? Da-da-da-da-da. Finally says to him, tell me something. Have you ever said a Kelmali Rachamim for your son? Come into shul, and we'll have them say something. Come on, you lost your only son. You have to say a Kelmali Rachamim. You have to do something for him. So, hesitatingly, the man agreed, do something for his son. So, throws away his cigarette, comes into shul, and this English man goes up to the chazan, and he whispers to the chazan, there's a man here who wants to say Al Kelmali Rachamim. Can you say Al Kelmali Rachamim for his son that he lost in the Holocaust? Okay. So the chazan starts, Malei rachamim, shochein bamromim, hamtzei menucha nechona, tachas kanfei hashchina, b'malos hakdoshim v'atorim, hamashirim kizohar harakia, oyes nishmas. So now comes time to say the name. So, our English friend, the very firm guy, he goes up to his older friend who'd lost his son. He says, Nunu, what was his name? So he whispers, Chaim Yecheskel ben Aaron Shmuel. So the Englishman goes up to the chazan and he says, Chaim Yecheskel ben Aaron Shmuel. And all of a sudden, the chazan turns pale and he cries out, Tati, Tati. Oh. It turns out that this child had been separated from his father during World War II in the camps, and his father took him for dead. He was sure that they had killed him, but he ended up coming out alive. And he came on a youth aliyah to Israel. And now, with such tremendous siyata deshmaya, he was reunited with his father. The truth is, I heard that story, I read the story in one place, and I said, it's just, it can't be. It can't be. Who goes to Meir Shearim to smoke on Yom Kippur? I'm saying that the whole story is just so unbelievable. But fact is sometimes stranger than fiction, Sarita's friends. I heard it from an aide in Ammon who knew the person. So we will take the story as fact, the amazing, amazing story. Anyway, as we'll get back to the halachic section of this evening. The person who, people who lost their family members after the war went to search for them. So that's as far as family members go. Ulan, says Rav Oshri, Yachad im zeh, heichel gam hachipus. Acharei tzorchei v'tashmishei kedusha. They also searched for holy things, like Sifrei Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs. That without them, how do you live? How does a Jew live without Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs? Like the famous story where Soloveitchik was once in the office of a businessman, and they started to talk. Obviously, he was there to raise money. He wasn't there to talk and learn. If you want to talk and learn, you go to the Beis Medrash. But, as it is with Talmidei Chachamim, the conversation turned to Torah, and they started discussing a certain point, and Soloveitchik said, Torah, let's look inside, let's see in the Rambam what he says. And the guy says, I'm sorry, I don't have a Rambam here. The Rav Soloveitchik said to him in Yiddish, how does a Jew live without a Rambam? How do you live? Certainly, if you can't live without a Rambam, you can't live without Sifrei Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs. So continues the Rav, V'hinei la'achar achipus hisgala shebidei rabim in hagoyim nimtzu tefillin shenisharu etzlam mimei ashod v'abiza sheshadadu gazlu v'chamsu mibotei Yisrael. They found many pairs of tefillin that remained after the war that were stolen from the homes of Jews after they were killed. And I was asked, is it mutter to put on these tefillin? Or do you have to check these tefillin first if they're kosher? What is the halacha? Are these tefillin that are found considered kosher or not kosher? Says the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Lamites Ivov, Nimtzu biyad einu Yehudi ve'ein yodea mi kosvan ksherim. So we have a halacha that if you have tefillin in the hands of a goy and we don't know who wrote the tefillin, they're kosher. So very good. In our case, you have tefillin in the hands of goyim, kosher. And on that, the Magen Avraham writes in Seif Katan Tes that stam goyim don't know how to write, and bevaday a Jew wrote it. Now, what is interesting is that there is a machlokes about a sefer Torah. Like it says in the Gemara in Gittin, and of Mem Hei Amid Beis, Amr of Nachman, Sefer Torah, She Nimtza Biat Goy, Amri La Yiganez, of Amri La Korin Bo. Some say if you find the Sefer Torah in the hands of a Goy, you should bury it. Other people say you can read it. In the Rambam Paskins, in the first parak of Hilchos Tefillin and Halacha Yud Gimel, that the Halacha is like Man Damra, you can read from the Sefer Torah. And so Paskin, many Rishonim. However, the Rif brings both Deos. And the Ran says that the Rif Paskin is like the Deah, that it can't be read. So you see with Sefer Torah that it's a machlokes. Masha'en King Tefillin seems to be quite straightforward in the Shulchan Aruch. Nimsu biat goy ve'en yadua mikas from ksher. So what's the difference? So many of the poskim were omein on this question. And the Beis Yosef says that the difference is that Sefer Torah v'choshesh, maybe the guy wrote it for himself to learn from it. But a goy doesn't write tefillin. What is he going to do with tefillin? And the Maharshal Niyam Shel Shlomo brings another chiluk between the Sefer Torah and tefillin. But he says there really is no chiluk. We can't be machalik what other people were in machalik. So he says lahalacha lemaisa that it's kosher if it's a Sefer Torah or tefillin and mezuzahs. And in fact, the Bach paskins that the tefillin should be put away unless you're sure that the goyim were bozes that took it away from the Jews, which is perfect in our case, so even in the Bach, who's normally machmir, but here there's a chazakah that they took it away from the Jews, and still the achronim paskin, not like the Bach, they paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, that even if it isn't a chazakah that the goyim took it away from the Jews, that they were bozes, they took booty from the Jews, you can wear these tefillin. unlike the Bach, who says that if there's no such chazaka, then you can't wear the tefillin. And not only that, but in the Sefer Halacha Berura of the Gaon of David Yosef Shlita, a son of Ravadi Yosef, who's been putting out these phenomenal svarim, he's going through Shulchan Aruch and Rechayim, and in every Sefer is 20, 30 simanim in the Shulchan Aruch, with Ma'ar Mekomos and discussions, and it's just, it's a delight to the eye and to the, and to the mind. And he puts them out so often. Just amazing. I'm saying, if you're, I think there are two names. If you have these names, you have some, you have a lot of inborn talent. One of them is Soloveitchik and the other one is Yosef. Just both families, there's something special. In any event, so Rabbi David Yosef Paskins, he has other books also. Rabbi David Yosef put out the Rambam, Shals and Shuvas of the Rambam with his Ha'aras, and he put out a Sefer Svarim on the Moadim. Now he's been doing this, and he's also, I'm told, he goes to foreign countries, and he's multilingual, just a very, very, very talented family. In any event, Rabbi David Yosef says that you can even make a bracha on these tefillin, because you have a sfeik sfeika. Because suffik, maybe the halacha is that even a Sefer Torah can be used if found amongst the Goyim. And even if we hold that a Sefer Torah that's found amongst the Goyim cannot be used, but maybe the halacha is that tefillin is different, like the chiluk that the Beis Yosef made, even though not all the Achronim are thrilled with the Beis Yosef's chiluk, but it doesn't matter, because maybe he's right. And so here we have a sfeik sfeika, and we know that there's a klal that if we have a sfeik sfeika to make a bracha, and the sfeik sfeika is on a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is midaraisa, you can make a bracha. And not only that, here the Shulchan Aruch says that it's kasher. And the Chida writes in Shalos and Shuvas Chaim Sha'al that be'inyan sfeik brachas, that we paskin sfeik brachas l'hakel, even against the haras of the Shulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, if you want to make a bracha, even when the minhag is not to make a bracha, and follow the Shulchan Aruch, then it's not the end of the world, it's okay. But here, adarabah, here there's many reasons to make a bracha. Here you have a sfeik sfeika to make a bracha. And many achronim say that if you have a sfeik sfeika, we don't say sfeik brachas lahakel. So here, we have many reasons not only to wear the tefillin, but even to make a bracha. And the Shalos and Shuvas Ksav Sofer, quoted by Harav Yosef in Chelek Or HaChaim Siman Hei, discusses this at length. And he says that you can make a bracha even on tefillin that you bought from a goy, but if you're machmir not to, if you have other tefillin, tavo olav bracha. Okay, but anyway, here we said that there's even more of a reason to make a bracha, more of a reason to assume they're kosher, because we know that they were stolen from Jews. And Rav Oshri concludes the tshuva, and he says, obviously Rav Oshri does not quote Rabbi David Yosef, because when Rav Oshri was writing this, Rabbi David Yosef was probably not yet born. But Mikol Hanal, from everything he wrote, Rav Oshri also incidentally quotes the Ksav Sofer I mentioned earlier, that Imhem Yishanim, if they're old tefillin, Demutar Lanichan, you're allowed to put them on, because you can tell that the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh were already put on. Vein Sarach Lechakos Ad Sheyivtekuosam, you don't have to wait until they're checked. Why? Sharei Hashayi Dechuka B'Yoser. It's a shad v'chukah, there's no time. Ki ein lam tefillin acherim, they have no other tefillin b'shvil laniach to put them on. V'machakach yasigu tefillin acherim, efshi alavot kamachakach v'abintayim mutter la'anicham. Afterwards they get other tefillin, they can check the other tefillin. But in the meantime, they should wear these tefillin. I heard a story from Mori Verabi, the Talmud Rebbe Shlita, that he tells about a certain Jew. I don't remember this Jew's name, but I remember that he's the father-in-law of Rabbi Ichamaya Furster, who is famous that if you ever see a Jew walking around with a hat box, the hat box might very well say Furster, because they have almost cornered the hat market in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Chaim Furster, who is a Talmud Chassid, his father-in-law was a survivor of the camps, and he tells that it was one late afternoon, and they had like the joint, one of these offices that was set up to help the Jews, and this big guy runs in, and he starts screaming, "I need tefillin, I need tefillin." They didn't know what he's going crazy about. He says, "It's Shkias HaChama almost, and I haven't put on tefillin in years, and I want to put on tefillin before Shkias HaChama." That's a Yid. A Yid, he wasn't a Rav, he wasn't a Gaon, he wasn't a Mechaber Sfarim, but he was a Yid who felt after all these years, he was mamish, he was dying from not wearing tefillin. They gave him the tefillin, I think the end of the story was, and he put on his tefillin, and Baruch Hashem, halavai, we should appreciate tefillin every day that we get to put on. Nobody stops us from wearing tefillin. Baruch Hashem, we can wear it as much as we want. It's actually coming into vogue now to even wear it during mincha. Some people wear it during Seder, learning. So in the last paragraph, says Rav Oshri, ukeshehi horesi lemeshuchrarim, shemutr lehanicham, hoysa simchasim gedoyla admeid. Their joy was so great when I told them they can wear the tefillin. Ki ad ata lo haysa lehem efsharus lekayim mitzvah gedolat zu. Till now, they did not have the opportunity to fulfill this great mitzvah. V'chein hayu sham et mispar Yehudim sheshavu meRusia shegam kein lo haysa lehem sham hayicholdes lo niach tefillin. There were other Jews who came from Russia who hadn't had the opportunity to wear tefillin. V'achshav shenitlan yicholdes zu. And now that they had this opportunity, bachu meRov osher v'simcha. They cried from great joy and happiness. So Rabbeisai, here we have it. We had two shailas. The shaila of the Safek Bar Mitzvah boy, where we concluded that he should be wearing tefillin. We had the shaila of the tefillin that we found in the hands of the Goyim. We should be putting on these tefillin, even with a bracha, and we should be zelche, and Yirtzeh Hashem Mamish Bekarov, to feel every mitzvah we do, to feel the mitzvah as if we've never done the mitzvah in our life, with a cheshek, with a tshuka, with a shtokakus, and in that schuz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yerachem al Amo, and we should never have any more such questions that we're dealing with in this series. And we should see Bekarov Mamish, Bias Goel Tzedek, B'mheira V'yameinu, Amen V'yamein, Shalom Shalom, sweetest and most beloved friends.